If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, host on this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to have you back in the studio, Sheikh, especially in this month of Ramadan, in which we are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to this month and fasting, according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, if a fasting individual intentionally causes semen to come out, does this affect his fast?
Well, we do know that fasting, that masturbation is absolutely forbidden. It's not only forbidden, but it's a grave, a major sin, mm-hmm. which every individual, regardless of whether he is fasting or not, should avoid under all circumstances. Now, if a fasting person, God forbid, intentionally causes semen to come out and actually he engages, or maybe she engages, because both men and women can engage in such self-gratifying act, okay, which is forbidden. So if a man, let's say, give the example of a man, masturbates and semen comes out, of course, his fast becomes void. And not only does it become void, but also... In fact, kafara also becomes obligatory on him. He has to give a penalty, which is to fast for 60 days, 31 days in a row, you know. And then, if he cannot...
And also the penalty?
This is the penalty.
Uh-huh.
Yes, the qada is there. But, he has to fast for 60 days. And then, because it's a deliberate act of masturbating, which is haram. And he has to fast for 60 days or feed 60 poor people. For some people, it's easy for them to feed 60 poor people because they are rich enough. Okay, they say, okay, today I will break my fast. I will have maybe sexual intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will give the food to the poor people.
Right.
No, it's a grave sin. You know, it's not only... not eating something, and you know, it's an act of compliance.
Right.
Yeah, one has to comply with God's order and should seek closeness to Allah the Almighty.
I see. Sheikh Javid, does a wet dream render the fast null and void?
Well, a wet dream, it does not make it null and void. Because in itself, for example, because it's not something you can control, you can do anything about it. You might have a nightfall during the day or during night, and it makes no difference. But if you, for example, if someone happens to have a wet dream at night, he has to jump into action to perform ghusl as soon as possible, before it's too late, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary to perform ghusl, to take a shower, and that shower is called ghusl, actually. He has to wash his head and neck, and then the right side of the body, then the left side of the body. This is what we call ghusl. This is a ritual bathing, okay? And this is necessary. One should not delay deliberately until it becomes the time for adhan, for the time of Fajr prayer.
But what if it happens after that?
Yeah, if it happens after that, because as I said, nightfall is not something one can do anything about. It happens sometimes for many people who sleep during the day, they end up seeing the semen, okay? ghusl becomes obligatory because they have to pray. They pray.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
Ya Allah, thank you for another chance standing at my door. Ya Allah, you've given me hope, delivered this gift right to my home. Marhab, marhab, ya Ramadan, ahi qulubana bil-Qur'an.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Ramadan and fasting with Sheikh Javed. Since you said that there is no control over the wet dreams or the nightfall, and the person is not to blame, so it doesn't render the fast null and void, but sometimes it happens that that individual just wakes up at the same time that the semen is coming out. Should they do something to stop it?
According to His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, because it is coming and the semen is, actually the act of throwing up the semen, it's not something the person himself can do anything about it because he did not initiate it. So it's not necessary for him to actually prevent himself from discharging semen. So he can let it, he can let himself be empty. Yeah. Of course, released. The semen come out and yes. Of course, his fast, the thing is that his fast does not become white, okay? And of course, when he sees that, okay, there's some kind of feeling or orgasm, he should not engage in it. Once he has the orgasm, and there's a feeling, he should not try to deliberately and intentionally make the semen come out. Mm-hmm. That is the point. If he does so, the fast becomes white.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, if the wife, Sheikh Javed, does not observe her qada fast, is the duty of the wife or the husband to pay the kafara or the fidya?
It's not the duty of the husband to give any kafara or any fidya on behalf of the wife, okay? There are many people, many women, who are under the impression that since I am entitled to nafaqah, and it's my husband, let's say, who should provide for my food, clothing, and other regular expenses, so it is actually, and consequently, the duty of the husband to pay for what I neglected in terms of fasting, in terms of not doing ghusl and other sinful acts, you know.
Aren't the wives under the custody of their husbands?
Yes, الرجال قوامون على النساء. Okay,
right.
Men are the protectors and the maintainers of women. Okay, that's for sure. But
like
it doesn't mean that the husband should pay for the negligence of the wife. For example, if she deliberately, let's say, does not postpone her fast until the next Ramadan, and it's too late for the wife to make up the previous fast. So as a result, fidya becomes obligatory. She has to give 750 grams of food to the poor, to the needy, in the neighborhood. And of course, She will come to her husband and say, "Okay, my husband, I have postponed my qadha fast, and it's now the next Ramadan. Okay. I cannot do anything about it, and I have to give kafara for delaying the qadha fast. It's now you who should give it because you have the money. You are the one who works and who provides." So the Sharia says, "No, it is the duty of the wife to make the compensation to give fidya."
Let's take a short break and then I'll come back and ask a related question. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/Ian. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah. Oh Allah, don't let me go astray, 'cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to fasting and the blessed month of Ramadan with Sheikh Javed. Sheikh Javed, you said before the break that if a wife deliberately does something that necessitates a qadha fast for her, then it is the duty of the wife, not the husband, actually, to pay the kafara, right?
Yes.
Or the fidya. Well, what if the wife doesn't do that deliberately? Like, for example, it happened because of like the menses, for example.
Again, it's not the duty of the husband, because menstruation is something quite natural, and every woman gets a period in the month of Ramadan or in any other month. And of course, again, it's not necessary for the husband to pay for that.
What about pregnancy?
Pregnancy, again, it's not, generally speaking, it's not the duty of the husband to make payment for such cases, for the fidya that the wife should give, because just as you said, a pregnant woman may not fast because she has genuine fear that fasting might affect her health, and fasting might affect the health of the child, and therefore she will have to give 750 grams of food, which is called fidya, or this 750 grams of food is called one mud.
Yes.
One mud of food stuff is equal to 750 grams of food stuff, and then she has to give it to the poor. Again, it's not necessary for the husband to take action and to pay for on behalf of the
If the wife is not working or employed and can't afford it, can her husband handle that?
Of course, he can do it. Of course, the wife can ask her husband to pay for it, and if the husband agrees and pays on her behalf, then she will be relieved of the obligation to pay any fidya.
I see.
Because the husband gives it.
If a fasting person, as the last question, Sheikh, if a fasting person ejaculates during the day, is it necessary that they perform ghusl immediately?
That's a good question. It is not necessary for a fasting person to take a quick action to perform ghusl immediately. Okay, he can delay it, he can do it, he can perform ghusl whenever it is convenient, So ghusl is not obligatory for the fast in this case. Ghusl is obligatory for the prayer which he is going to perform sooner or later.
Mm-hmm, I see. Yes. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Thank you for your nice contribution and the answers you provide for all of these questions that I ask you. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to deal with some of the jurisprudential laws related to fasting and the blessed month of Ramadan. Please remember us in your du'as. Keep us in your prayers. And wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Oh Allah, please unite us and guide us to paradise.